Hi, and welcome back to the Best of Bettina podcast. I'm Bettina, and I'm recording this episode today from my bedroom floor. Believe it or not, this is my podcast studio. And I guess it fits somewhat into today's topic, because today we're going to talk about yoga. I got a couple requests around this topic, and it was actually perfect because I had been thinking about wanting to do an episode around yoga and kind of my yoga journey. So for those of you that don't know, I'm also a yoga teacher. I do that part-time, and yoga is probably the first form of exercise that hasn't kind of felt forced, especially after my eating disorder. And again, I'm only going to share my experiences and my views and how it's felt like for me. With that being said, if you're not into yoga at all, or you know what, maybe doing yoga for you feels very, very forced and not mindful or good at all, then don't do it. Then it's not for you. And yeah, feel free to skip this episode. I won't be offended. Again, as a reminder, if you do have any requests for topics that you'd like to be covered in one of the episodes, then message me on Instagram at bestofbettina, and I'll try to take that into account in the upcoming episodes. So the purpose of this episode isn't to make everyone hardcore yogi and encouraging everyone to wake up at 5 a.m. and do yoga every day, and yeah, not at all. For me, yoga is more like the complete opposite. It's being able to roll out your mat, and maybe all you want to do for 90 minutes is put on a blanket, put on some woolen socks, and just lay there and breathe and not move. Like, that also for me is just as beneficial, if not even more, than a hardcore hot yoga class, for example. I guess I've been doing yoga more seriously for, I don't know, seven, eight years. I definitely tried it before every now and then, but I thought about it more as like stretching to kind of balance out my more physical exercise, which used to be athletics. I used to do athletics a lot when I was younger, pretty much up until I got my eating disorder and was essentially forced to stop because of that. And that was when I was 15 years old. Before my eating disorder, I never felt forced to exercise. Like, I was always a very sporty and active girl, and I seriously loved doing all kinds of exercise. I liked to play tennis. I just liked to like run and play around with my friends. And then I started doing more and more athletics, and eventually that was kind of my only hobby and way of exercising. I think I liked it the most because it was so diverse, because you could do so many different varieties. But then, of course, I started losing the passion and the kind of just doing it because I loved it while I was developing my eating disorder, because then it just became a way of having to exercise and like the more the better, and also just comparing myself to everyone else and how they were performing or what they were looking like. And it just became a very, very negative and anxiety-provoking thing. And then if you take when I got my eating disorder at 15 and fast forward a couple years when I was doing a lot better and I had obviously given up athletics and was now trying to start finding my way back to exercising, and I was allowed to do so, and trying to kind of find what works for me, what doesn't, what might be something that I actually enjoy doing. And I started trying out different classes that were more fun, like dancing or Zumba or something that I just wanted to do for the joy of doing it. And then I also started trying more of kind of yoga style classes. And this was also partly because I had a pretty bad knee injury that I actually had to do surgery on twice. So physically, my body and my knee just couldn't even take like lots of running or jumping. So I started gravitating towards yoga, and I did it for a couple of years. Like, it was fun. I didn't feel pressured of having to do it. And Sometimes I did a lot more calm classes, and sometimes I wanted to sweat out a little more, so I did maybe something more intense. But it was kind of like I learned to tune in with myself of what kind of movement actually just makes me feel good, and what kind of movement might I actually want that day or not want that day, and just decide to stay home on the couch, which is just as okay. And then another couple years later from this, I moved to Edinburgh, where I went to university. And like I've said in the previous episode, I was actually diagnosed with and dealing with depression. And it was just hard for me to find joy in doing things. And then I remember seeing like a leaflet or something around on campus of the yoga society at my university, and the classes were only like £2 or something, so they were really affordable. And I was like, this is perfect. I don't have to pay expensive memberships that I couldn't even afford as a student, of like £100 or something per studio. But now I actually have an affordable way of doing something that, you know, actually might be really good for me now. And I started going to these classes, and there was one particular teacher that I remember I just like started admiring, and I would always go to her classes. I still remember they were on Sunday at 5, and I always went, and that just became like such a special moment for me in the week, and I was always looking forward to going. And I think through her I started discovering these so-called mental benefits of yoga that I hadn't, to be honest, really felt before. But now I felt like I was also doing something good for my mind. It wasn't just, you know, stretching to make me feel better in my body, which is maybe how it felt like before. And then I also found a YouTube channel called Yoga with Adrian, which might be familiar to a lot of you. And if it's not, I really recommend you to check it out, because it's amazing for starting out yoga. It's free, and Adrian is just so funny and down to earth and approachable, even though you just interact with her through a screen. But it's a really good way to start. I usually always recommend people to start from her YouTube channel if people are asking me good tips for home yoga or checking it out. And I started doing some of her kind of more structured programs of like 30 days of gratitude or 30 days for beginners. And they were all not necessarily super easy, but it was more so like super easy for me to get myself to do them. Sometimes it was just like 15 minutes, sometimes it was even just 5 minutes, sometimes it was longer, but it never felt difficult to get myself on the mat. I was always looking forward to the moment, whether it was in the morning or in the evening or in the afternoon or whenever I would find the best time to do one of her videos. And that too made me kind of more familiar with this positive emotional benefit from yoga, of like actually starting to feel calmer, and actually this is really good for my mind. I'm not saying it's the cure for depression or anything like that, but in my case for sure it contributed in a very positive way in overcoming that. And then my first summer break from university was coming up, and it was going to be like 4 months or something, and I still had some savings left, and I thought maybe this is the summer that I don't really like have to apply to any cool summer jobs, to any internships. And I had been in Australia like about, was it then, the year before, 2 years before, traveling, and just had a huge travel bug and just wanted to see more and explore more. And I thought, okay, I want to go traveling this summer, and it would be cool to go alone, but maybe I still want to have like some sort of a more kind of like structured plan of where I go or why. And I've always wanted to go to Bali. And yes, I have seen Eat, Pray, Love. And yes, maybe that had something to do with it. And then I asked this yoga teacher that I really, really admired and looked up to, of like, whether she would know of any cool yoga retreats that I could go to. I thought, that's perfect. I'll go to Bali, I'll do a fun yoga retreat, and then I'll do some solo backpacking to kind of make the most use of these long summer breaks that I still have. And then she just told me like upfront, like, hey, Bettina, why don't you just do a yoga teacher training? And I was like, no, 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 no. You're talking to the wrong person. I'm, you know, all these things came to me, like, I'm not good enough. I'm not, like, I don't want to be a yoga teacher. I have never thought about this before. And like, maybe it's something I'll do when I'm 40 or 50 and I'll open up my nice little yoga studio on some remote island. But like, not now. Like, no, I'm not good enough, I thought, which is quite ironic because that's essentially against everything that yoga is trying to teach you to think of not feeling like you're not good enough. And then she told me that, you know, a lot of people just do it for personal development and just do it for fun. Just do it as your yoga retreat. And then I was still like a big no. Like I was thinking of what I thought all yoga teachers are like. And they have these like crazy cool accounts on social media where they just post these like headstand photos from the beach and they wear the coolest yoga clothes and all of that. And I was none of that. I didn't know how to do a headstand or any of these like more advanced poses. And then I went back to my dorm and started looking up different places to go to for yoga and also like looking a little bit at these teacher trainings. And then I came to the conclusion quite quickly, actually, that you know what? It's pretty much going to cost me the same if I go on a yoga retreat versus a yoga teacher training. And I thought of what my yoga teacher had told me of maybe just doing this just for me, just for personal development. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. If I'm going to put all this money to do this trip, I might as well get something back from it. And then I found a good training that was going to take place in Bali around the times that I could go. And also I picked this school because it had a somewhat still like human schedule of not having to wake up at 4 a.m. and meditate for 3 hours and then just stay in a headstand all day and like all this crazy intense stuff. So the school that I went to, I think we started with meditation around like 7 a.m. or something. And I felt good going into that and it didn't feel too intense in terms of like how much yoga you did, how long the days were, and also kind of like the eating side of things felt more chilled here. And then no matter how much I told myself that I'm not gonna stress over this of feeling that I'm not good enough for this and all of that, because I'm Bettina, of course I started stressing a little bit about that earlier in the summer before I actually went on the training. But I tried to be okay with, you know what, I'm at the stage where I am at. It's okay if I can't do a headstand. It's okay if I can't do all these crazy poses. Yoga isn't about that, really. And then in August, I finally jumped on the plane to Bali. I made it to Ubud, where my training would take place. And it was actually an Ashtanga Vinyasa training. And I remember when I signed up for it, like, remember, I was definitely not any sort of yoga pro. And I had heard of Ashtanga, but I had never taken an Ashtanga class in my life before I went on this training. I just kind of figured like, I do vinyasa. It's like the same kind of flowing. And I tried to do some like YouTube videos at home before just to kind of prepare. But it was definitely a little surprising of like how intense it actually was and how like maybe rigid, or I mean, because Ashtanga is a type of yoga where you essentially, to simplify, you just do the same sequence every day. And it's quite a challenging one as well. You pay a lot of attention to your breathing. I mean, you do that in all types of yoga, but in Ashtanga also, you don't play music in the background. So it's very much just like being on your mat, doing the same sequence, focusing on your breathing. And yeah, in a way, kind of like a meditating practice, but a very intense one. And to be honest, first I freaked out a little bit because yoga for me was this thing that wasn't supposed to be this rigid form and this like intense thing. But I mean, in the end, I started finding my way to work with it and also accept that maybe, you know what, I can't do all these poses in the sequence and everyone else around me is like standing on one hand, but you know what, that's okay. And I mean, I had started to kind of like find this connection that yoga has to like your mind and your emotions, but still I had never, for example, cried during yoga, which I had often heard that a lot of people do. And a lot of people told me before the teacher training that, you know, in yoga teacher trainings, everyone will just cry and they're like gonna crack up all their emotions and all the things that they've been storing. And it's like a big cry fest. And I was kind of like, I didn't not believe it, but I didn't believe it because I had never experienced anything like that before. I had been to yoga classes where teachers would say that like, oh, we're doing a lot of hip openers and, you know, we usually store a lot of our negative emotions or our stress in our hips and this might make you feel emotional. And I was kind of like, really? Like, I can't really feel anything. And I asked one of the teachers or assistants in the training, like on the first day or something, is it true that everyone like always cries here? And she was like, oh yeah. And I was kind of like, interesting, like preparing myself to see everyone else cry. Like I wasn't thinking that I would get emotional or anything like that because I had never been that through yoga before. And then I think like day three of these 30 days and I was like bawling my eyes out. Like it was crazy. Seriously, I think I cried the most out of all participants in this teacher training. It was like sometimes uncontrollable. I couldn't stop it. Usually it would hit like after the practice. So when we were in Shavasana, and this is going to sound like now super spiritual. So skip over this if this is not your thing. But sometimes it really like seriously felt that I could feel it physically like coming up from like some block of some part of my body and just like creep up. And then the feeling would like hit my throat. It just like came out as tears. And it wasn't like this beautiful cleansing cry. It was like quite hysterical most of the time. And I wanted to like stop it, but I couldn't. But I mean, finally, after those like 30 days when I had cried, maybe not every day, but most of the days, I did feel like cleansed. And maybe there were some emotions in me that needed to be released and come out. And then I finished the training and I came back home and returned back to Edinburgh to continue with my university. And I still hadn't planned to teach. But then like an opportunity just kind of like arose of someone approaching me whether I wanted to teach for the yoga society at university. And I thought, you know what, this isn't all too bad of an idea. Like, I mean, I have just done the training and I benefited so much from going to the classes at the yoga society. So you know what, it would actually be pretty great to be able to teach and give back and maybe like contribute positively into someone else's life. So I started teaching there once or twice a week. And in the beginning, I was so nervous. I like practiced what I would say, like word by word, well in advance, and pretty much like did a similar sequence every time until I kind of became more comfortable of like starting to just trust myself and kind of go with the flow a little bit as well. And I actually remember after having taught my first class, what I did with the money that I got was I put it in a little picture frame, a spare one that I had from IKEA or something, and I put it in my room just to kind of like remind me that, hey, you can actually also take your true passion and your hobby and turn it into something that you make money out of. I mean, by no means was I making my whole living out of this. It was just like a side hustle that I did and still do. But still, I think it's a common thing that holds a lot of people or yoga teachers down, thinking that it's impossible to make money out of it and you can't do it as your job and it's so competitive and all of that. And you know what? It is really competitive, but like what isn't? And I personally don't want to do it full time, at least now, but maybe there's someone that is. And if you think you can make it happen, then you have to first believe in yourself. Because if you don't even believe in yourself in being able to make it happen, then why would anyone else? And so since then, that was now like 3.5 years ago, I have been teaching pretty on and off, sometimes more, sometimes less. And I go a little bit still in circles with it because it's such an important practice for me personally to kind of stay sane. Then if it just becomes like work, then I kind of also start losing maybe the joy around yoga a little bit. I mean, I love teaching, but then if you're teaching like classes every day and you have other things going on or other work or studies like it was for me, then easily it's sometimes hard to maintain your own practice. And sometimes I've just always said yes, yes, yes to every opportunity of teaching. And that means I've had to kind of sacrifice practicing myself. And then when it starts going over that fine line, then how can I essentially be a good yoga teacher and teach people to look after themselves if I'm not even doing that myself? Well, it's very individual. And it's also something I've at least learned as I've gone on. And just like with anything else, it's all about balance and whatever floats your boat. And another thing that I've noticed myself and that I need to kind of be aware of in my own journey as a yoga teacher is the pressure that I sometimes easily put on myself of having to, well, essentially be the perfect yoga teacher and also be the perfect yogi, because I am a yoga teacher. Like, I remember especially in the very beginning after I had finished the training and I came back to my everyday life and, you know, in a way I was really, really motivated to keep doing yoga, but I started putting a lot of pressure on myself pretty soon that, okay, now because I'm a yoga teacher, I need to do yoga every day and I need to do it at like 5 a.m. because that's how real Ashtangis do it and blah, 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 blah. But I was able to kind of like catch myself quite quickly in this pattern, and because I know that that's how my mind works, and I'm the type of person who struggles maybe a little bit to find the balance and the boundary in the beginning. I have to kind of go through like extremes, and I was like falling a little bit too much into this direction. And then I realized like, this is so away from all the like yoga philosophy that I have been taught, and also the kind of positive benefits that I've experienced. Like, yoga is supposed to be that one enjoyable thing in my life or in my day. And now I'm putting a bunch of pressure on myself. Like, you know what? I would call myself a morning person, but I'm not a person to wake up for 5 a.m. yoga. Like, I don't think I will ever be. And that's okay. And I don't even need to do yoga every day. Like, it's fine. Sometimes I do yoga more, sometimes less. Sometimes I don't do it for a week or weeks even, if it just doesn't feel right. And that doesn't make me any less of a yogi or any less of a yoga teacher, because I've just kind of found what works for me. I will never be that type of teacher to teach those really intense classes, because that's not my style. And yeah, I guess I would just say that in a nutshell, yoga for me is about being kind and gentle towards yourself. It's not about what you look like doing it. It's not about what you wear doing it. The goal isn't to reach that whatever pose it is you might be striving for. Like, still to this day, I still don't really know a headstand. I've tried it loads and I keep falling over, and probably if I had the discipline to practice enough, I would probably master that as well. But that's not the goal for me. Maybe one day I'll really seriously just enjoy wanting to get into a headstand and practice for it. But today isn't the day. And if there's someone out there thinking whether they should do a yoga teacher training, if you're even thinking about it a little bit and you have a time in your life where you're able to do it and you can afford to do it, then I would say 100% go for it. Like, you seriously never have to teach a single yoga class even after you do it. But do it if you want to learn a little bit more and you want to advance your practice, and if you want to meet the coolest people. Like, I've met such amazing people through different yoga communities. And also, one of my favorite parts of working as a yoga teacher is like working around other yoga teachers or people in yoga. Because you know what? They're all so chill and loving. Or at least the people that I have interacted with. I'm sure maybe this is not the whole truth, but that's my experience. And maybe because I've also felt who the right people and what the right studios to work with have been for me particularly. So if you are thinking about it, just go for it. Seriously. The worst thing that will happen is you come out of it as a yoga teacher and then you just never teach. That's also okay. And one last thing still, just to emphasize that only because I'm sharing that yoga has helped me and it feels like a good form of exercise or just like a hobby for me, it doesn't mean that it has to be the case for you. Listen to yourself. Get to know yourself. What do you like to do? Do you like yoga, or does it just feel like a thing that you're forced to do? Maybe your thing is painting. Maybe it's running. Like, I hate running. I really cannot relate to this because I absolutely hate it. And for me to go out running would feel very, very forced. But you know what? Maybe there's someone out there that it's the complete opposite and running is your thing. Listening to birds, listening to music, and yoga is the thing that makes you cringe and feel like you're being forced into something you don't want to. Then cool. As long as you just do it because you feel good about it and you enjoy it, then that's all that matters. I hope you like this episode, and maybe you learned something new. Maybe you got inspired to try out yoga. Maybe you listened to this and realized yoga is most definitely not your thing. Whatever takeaway you take from this episode, I hope it serves you. And remember to message me on Instagram at bestofbettina with any thoughts or any feedback that you have, or if you have any questions that arose from this episode or about anything else, then shoot me a message. And please share this episode with anyone that you think might benefit from it. And next week we have a very special episode coming up, because we're gonna have our first guest. So stay tuned for that, and I'll speak to you again next week.